All right, well, good evening again. We are starting a new series tonight. It's kind of a series, it's kind of not. We're just kind of picking random psalms, and it would have been fitting to start in Psalm 1. However, we are starting in Psalm 139, all right? Just something God laid on my heart. But let's go ahead and do this. Let's read through it, all right, and then we'll just process through it. Starting in verse 1, it says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to know, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty." Now that feels like it took a shift, didn't it? "They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's pray as we get started. Father, oh, bless this time, bless this night. I pray that your hand would be all over this time, all over this congregation, all over our hearts. Father, soften them if needed. Father, create in us hearts just like this prayer in Psalm 139, this prayer of David, that we would acknowledge you for who you are and how great you are. So, Father, start that in us here tonight. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I stated, this is a psalm of David, and David has this nice flow here in the psalm, okay? So if you are someone who is OCD, this is the psalm for you, all right? It's going to be your favorite psalm, because what we have here is we have four sections, 24 verses, four sections, and each of them have six verses. It's perfectly linear. See, some of you are like, phew, thank you. This is good, right? David is doing four different things here, all right? I'm going to go ahead and just show you all four things. In verses 1 through 6, he's proclaiming God's omniscience, God's knowledge and his understanding, that he has all knowledge and all understanding. In verses 7 through 12, he's proclaiming his omnipresence, that he is fully present with him and fully present everywhere. He surrounds us with his presence. In verses 13 through 18, he proclaims God's power, his omnipotence. He is an all-potent and powerful, all-powerful God. In verses 19 through 24, you start to get into David's specific prayers. And he starts to pray freely, very honestly, and with a heart of humility and repentance. It's as if to say, now you're ready to pray, right? I mean, your perspective is right. Your perspective is ready for you to pray. How often is our prayers just very simply going straight to whatever it is that we need. You know, God, give me strength, right, in this moment. And by the way, nothing wrong with that. But what's even better than that is for us to have a widened perspective. I mean, think about Job. Job had all kinds of questions. Job went through all kinds of different things. And in fact, those questions never do get answered. But what God does give him is a widened perspective. When God goes, now where were you whenever I made the heavens and the earth? And Job, without this full understanding, actually is able to just rest in the presence of God. That's what David is doing here. Same thing. He's praising God for his abundant knowledge, his abundant presence in the midst of us, and his abundant power. And then he goes, now that I've rewired things based on the perspective they ought to be, now I can bring our need. And in fact, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but sometimes we bring a need, and really, if we get this order right, then we're like, now what was it that I needed? I was so bent out of shape about this thing. But now that I've got the perspective right, I just go, ah, right? Now, you may still have a need, and that's good, and that's okay, but now you're looking at it through the right perspective. That's what David's doing here. He's creating an order for how we ought to look at things when we pray. All right, let's start with that first section. God's omniscience. He is all-knowing. Let's read it again. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to know, too lofty for me to attain. All right. Now, maybe you're like me, and you still try to hide from God sometimes. A couple weeks ago, I compared it to the kid who throws a blanket over their head to play hide and seek, and they think, ooh, I got a good hiding spot here now. Nobody will ever find me. God knows everything about us, every detail. We would be wise not to try to ever educate God or hide from God. And with that, it should bring in us hearts of humility. You remember that story in the New Testament where it says that Jesus responded to the thoughts of the Pharisees? I mean, now that's knowledge there. They didn't even have to speak it. He's just like, oh yeah, that thing that you're thinking about? This. Isn't that amazing? I mean, 8 billion people in the world right now, and he knows every single detail about us. Imagine a God who knows everything, and by the way, also personalizes it to the point where he knows everything about us, and he wants to know every detail of our lives. Now, that's pretty amazing here. And David is not just speaking about a theology here. It's not just out there. It's not just that God knows everything. He's also personalizing it and saying, God, you know everything about me. You know every detail of my life, and in fact, you care to know every detail of my life. It's amazing. Isaiah 40, 13 and 14 say this. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? So, in verses 1 through 6, he's all-knowing. He knows everything and everyone and every detail, and yet he loves us and he's deeply personal. The second one, he is omnipresent. He is fully present. He not only knows everything, but he is fully present with us. Starting verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created me, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Now, to me, the connection between these two sections is really important. He knows us fully, and he's fully present with us. Now, God's been working on my heart a lot to be transparent and open. I mean, if you know me, sometimes it's awkward what an open book I am. One of the biggest struggles I've had in my life is that I have struggled to keep relationships because I feel like at a certain point, if they start to really get to know me, then they're not going to like me so much anymore. Am I the only one on that? It's like once they start to see the warts, the things that aren't so great, then they might back away a little bit. I think David is kind of wrestling with this idea a little bit. He's uncomfortable with the fact that God knows him so well, and he's trying to lead himself into the idea that God knows him fully and loves him fully and is fully present with him. We are fully known and fully loved by God. We are 100% known and 100% loved by him. Knowing us fully doesn't scare him, doesn't scare him off. How many times, I think David, like, he's probably like Jonah here. Jonah, like, throws himself in the ocean, tries to hide in a cave. He's trying to, like, man, maybe God will still like me if he just doesn't really get to know the full me. David is saying here, God knows me fully. And by the way, he did a good job making me. You ever seen Dennis the Menace? We did a pretty good job. God did a good job making us. We are wonderfully made by him. I don't have to be ashamed to be in his presence because he knit me together. He wants to be in my presence, even knowing me full well. You know, I think if we could just get that, that would do so much for us. I mean, Zephaniah tells us that he sings over us. Jesus calls his disciples his friends. It's not just that he loves you. It's not just that he knows you. It's that he wants to be with you. It's not just that he's contractually obligated. And you got to remind him, remember, you said you'd love me. You said you'd be with me. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. It's not his love. He wants to be with us. Man, he's not ashamed to be in our presence. He loves us. The all-knowing God of the universe also deeply loves us. I mean, that should inform some things for us. Warts and all loves us. I think there's a fear that so many of us have that if we start to be fully known, we won't really be fully loved. But God does both. And by the way, if you are only 99% known, you are not fully known. But God 100% knows us and 100% loves us and doesn't turn away from us. Verse 13, he starts getting into the power of God, his omnipotence. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." So, he's all-knowing, he's fully present, and he's all-powerful. And by the way, what does he do with his power? He delights in creating. And he delights in creating us. He created a lot of things beautifully, but he created one thing in his own image, and that was us. He took so much just beauty and wonder and awe as he just knit us together, these little DNA strands, he just knit them all together and just had a good time doing it. He loves us. He did a good job making us. Man, he knit together Grace Meadows Church, Revive Church, and said, "This is wonderful. I mean, I'm going to make Grace Meadows Church a construction-loving, service-loving church. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, amen. That's right. That's good. We should look at his work and go, yes, that's good stuff. Thank you. He did a pretty good job, didn't he? Amazing. Looked at Justin and he said, man, I'm going to make this dude like that unicorn breed to be able to just do a little bit of everything. He did a good job. He made Patrick a tech savant, man. He did a good job. All of us. Made Steve a wonderful pastor. He did a good job making us. And there's nothing wrong. In fact, there's everything right with us acknowledging that. Now, before we get into David's prayer, isn't he set up well to pray now? I mean, you know, you understand a little bit more of a glimpse of his knowledge and his presence and his power and how all that is personal. Not just out there, not just a theology, but it's in here, it's personal. Now he's ready to pray. Now his mind is set up well to pray. Perhaps I came into this prayer time today with frustrations and worries and anxieties and sins that were weighing me down. And now that I have spent this time acknowledging these things in front of God, I can just go, my perspective has widened. And now, God, I give my need to you with that in mind. Verse 19. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. Now talk about an honest prayer. And I'm not saying this is the right frame of mind to have. I'm just saying it is always good to be honest with God about where you are. I talked to a kid not too long ago, not in this youth group, so don't try to figure out who was it. No, not here. But he was telling me about a prayer he had recently where he said, God, I don't care if the team wins or not, I want to score a goal tonight. And I said, I appreciate the honesty. That's pretty good. That's a good place to start. We have to be honest with God about where we are. Again, he's all-knowing. He already knows. We might as well be forthcoming about where we are. Be honest in your prayers. Don't just give him a cookie-cutter prayer if it's not really where you are. Be honest about where you are. Verse 20. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Again, being honest. Isn't that refreshing, by the way, to know you can just be honest with God about where you're at? That's good. He knows it anyway. He wants you to be honest with him. But he's honest with a position of humility. Because check out what he says next. He's like, I don't know if this is right, God. So search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. See that? God, if my heart is wrong here, search it. Tell me. So he's honest. And then he, with humility, goes, God, if I need to repent here, if there's something in here in me that's not good, I want to give that to you. How often in our prayers are we looking for God to convict other people's hearts? You ever listening to a message and you're like, honey, did you hear what he's saying? This would be really good information for the person behind me. God wants this to be personal for us. And man, David, this is a wonderful heart here. Because David is being chased wildly unfairly by his enemies after doing nothing wrong. And yet he says, search my heart, God. Help me to see clearly. Is there anything offensive in me? Lead me and the way everlasting. Is that our hearts tonight? Is that our hearts? Or do we say, once this person will get off my back, once this situation here gets better, then I'll have a clean heart? No, in the midst of his trial, that's not his fault. He says, create in me a clean heart. Worship team, why don't you guys go ahead and come on back up. Just to summarize, he knows you completely. You can't hide from his presence. And by the way, first, that it probably induces a little bit of panic, but ultimately it should induce some freedom. To say, God, I'm stepping into the light, and it is all out there. Second, he knows you fully, and he loves you fully. I mean, do you believe that, really? I mean, do you believe that not a future version of you does he love? He loves you right now. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but early in my faith, I really struggled with the idea that, man, God might be regretting this whole decision to send Jesus because I can't seem to get it right. But he knew how I'm going to mess it up 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. He knows me fully, and he fiercely and fully loves me. And then thirdly, he uses his power to create wonderful designs. Don't you know that you are wonderfully designed? Fearfully and wonderfully made by him. The God of all power uses his power to make beautiful, one-of-one designs. You are one of one. You are one of one. You are one of one. There's nobody else like you. And he delighted in using his power to make you. And fourthly, let those things create in us an honest relationship with abundant humility in his presence. Let's pray together. Father, oh, we thank you for this wonderful psalm. We thank you that this wonderful psalm is still true today. You know all. You know all about me, and yet you love me fully. All power. And you use that on my behalf. So, Father, we thank you, because that's really all we can do, is just say thank you and praise your name. So make in us hearts of praise here tonight and moving forward. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.